Hello, I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome back. I remind you that support for WEAA is provided by AAA Mid-Atlantic. More information available at 866-4-GLASS-1. Before we jump into our conversation about the latest announcement about the Henry et al.'s, about Henry et al.'s genome from NIH and what it means and what it doesn't say, with our two guests, we'll do a very quick day in history for you all today, because we missed in the first part of our hour. That in this day in 30 BCE was the day that Cleopatra committed suicide. According to Josephus, who was a historian of in that period, alive during that period. This is also the day in 1833 that Chicago was founded. This was the day in 1851 that Isaac Singer patented the sewing machine. So people have been sewing at least by machine since around the 1850s. This is also in 1861, interesting enough, that there was a skirmish at Texas. The rebel Confederates were attacked by Apache Indians. So they knew what they were doing before some of the Americans did. In 1890, this is a very critical date, before Plessy versus Ferguson, which codified segregation in the United States of America. In 1890, the Mississippi Constitutional Convention began its systematic exclusion of African Americans from the political life of the South. It's placed from August 12th to November 1st. It's called the Mississippi Plan. It's where literacy tests and understanding tests were implemented to keep black people from voting. It was later adopted by other states, South Carolina in 1895, Louisiana in 1898, North Carolina in 1900, Alabama in 1901, Virginia in 1901, Georgia in 1908, and Oklahoma in 1910. And southern states started using white primaries and other ways to keep black voters from voting, to end black voting rights that happened after the Civil War, for black men at any rate. And that's a very key date in our history that we should not forget. This was also the day the United States took over in 1898 Hawaii. Its sugar plantations and more became one of the territories of the United States. This was the day in 1922 they made Frederick Douglass's home a shrine in Washington, D.C. This is a day this is a very famous photograph. You ever seen that photograph of all the musicians lined up in Harlem on steps? It's called A Great Day in Harlem. It was taken on this day in 1958, 57 of the most notable jazz musicians in history. This is also the day that South Africa was banned in 1964 from the Olympic Games because of apartheid. And on this day in 1965, Jonathan M. Daniels, an Episcopal Seminary student from Massachusetts, was killed, as well as Richard Morris Rowe, a white Roman Catholic priest from Chicago, wounded and shot by shotgun blast fired by white deputies in Haneyville, Alabama, in Lowndes County, Alabama as well. The beginning of the violence, not the beginning of the violence, but part of the violence against civil rights activists in the South. And finally, we'll say that this was the day in 1990, August Wilson's play, The Piano Lesson, wins the Pulitzer Prize. He was, I think, America's Shakespeare, who gave us his 10 years worth of plays that were just amazing. They still are, their plays will be played for the rest of our lives, as Shakespeare's plays have been played for the rest of his life, the rest of our lives as well. And this is the day that NAFTA went into effect, something we'll talk about on another show soon. But let's turn to Henrietta Lacks. We're joining here once again by Ron Lacks, who is a grandson of Henrietta Lacks. Great to see you again, Ron.
Hey, Mark, same.
Good to have you in the studio. Glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, great.
And Dr. Gloria Hoffman is with us. She's professor of biology here at Morgan State University. Dr. Hoffman, good to have you in the studio.
Likewise. It's great to be here.
So let's talk about what happened here. We've done a number of shows from the biography of Henrietta Lacks to the programs we've done in between about all this. Talk first, Gloria, if you would, about what the significance of this announcement by the NIH was.
So you're referring to the announcement of putting family members on the committee that would determine the use of HeLa cells. In some ways, this announcement is similar to what the NIH has done in terms of deciding funding for many years, where the process usually entails submitting an application, having it reviewed by scientific experts. And then from there, it goes up to the level of the funding body, who then would determine if it is appropriate for the programs that are being supported by the NIH, and that the that it is consistent with general funding trends and the importance to the world at large. So in that sense, they have always had members who are not scientists on the councils. And these council members then help maintain the balance of use of federal funds for research. And so in a way, this may be an extension of that, but I think it is very important that the family retain a tie with the advances that come from those cells. They have made such extraordinary contributions already and are likely to continue to do so. So I think it's great.
So we're talking about these cells that we call the HeLa cells now, after her, that were taken out of her body in 1951 when she was suffering from cancer and died from that cancer. The cells survived. And she didn't know this happened. The family didn't know what happened, that they took the cells, nor that people realized in her family over the years that other cells have been taken from family members and they came in for checkups and other things over the years. And those have been used in research. And an entire book is written about this. It's been very controversial. So I'm curious, family members. I know there's been a split in the family as well over some of these issues.
Correct. My family member was concerned about the information that was posted on the internet that would allow people to view my grandmother's and our medical history, which we wanted to be private. We only had two options. One was to put it on the internet for everyone to view, or put it in the hands of the researchers so they could do it. Mm-hmm. And we chose the researchers because we was concerned that they would have too much information if it got out. And it did. I think 8 people had downloaded it before they stopped it. And the information is already out there.
And the entire, you know, it was published in Switzerland, mm-hmm. just as this announcement was being made. So the question is, I think, and folks, you can join us here during the segment of 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Log on to our Facebook page. Tweet us at Mark Steiner, because there are issues here that I think really beg to be explored. And one of them has to do with people are saying, should the Lacks family receive remuneration from the use of these cells? I mean, these cells replicated themselves for whatever reason. They were more useful than the cells they found. They were instrumental in a number of vaccines. They've been instrumental in fighting polio. They've been instrumental in many things in the research they've used across the globe. Millions of dollars being invested in one and made on the backs of these cells in many ways. And there's some people arguing that given this country's general history of medical malpractice against African-American people, that some compensation is due. And this I think this is – it opens up a different conversation.
The Lacks family is not really interested in the monetary value. You know, we are so proud that my grandmother's cells has helped so many. So you say it's the American dream to want to make money. Of course, you know, the family do like money. So but we haven't found anyone that could help us in what monetary value we can get from what's going on. So the family has took a stance, and all we want is people to be helped.
I see it as split into two separate issues. One is having the cells available for scientific endeavor, and I think there is no question in my mind that the widespread availability of the HeLa cell has made such an amazing impact in scientific knowledge, whether it's how cells divide, how the papilloma virus affects them, how the, you know, using them in order to have a cell line that's stable for years and years and years, which for many other cell lines isn't possible. So the scientific end, like you said, I think is very critical, very important, and it shouldn't be terminated in any way. The part that I've had some difficulty thinking about is, so when Johns Hopkins scientists gave away the cells for nothing, that was a wonderful thing that furthered science. They gave it to other scientists. They never forced them to pay anything for them. It's when companies get involved that I have the sort of concern that should there be something going back to the source, you know, to the family. And there, I guess, if there is going to be some remuneration, that would be the field that I would think would be important.
It seems like I'm not saying that because I think that a number of people have written articles about the question of remuneration. I know the Lax family has not said give us money. We're not asking for money. We need to be part of this process and don't just snatch things and take us. Like even as you were saying last time, you're not even allowed to use the cover of your grandmother that's on the book.
Correct. We don't even own our pictures anymore.
So that, I mean, wow.
And we're deeply saddened about that.
So that doesn't make any sense either. And there was a ruling in the California Supreme Court's 1990 ruling called Moore versus Regents of California that said that people wanted that she did not deserve to have remuneration because it would hinder research by restricting access to the necessary raw materials to destroy the economic incentive to conduct important medical research. And that, to me, is like where the system interferes with the rights of a family, especially when you look at the complexity of this, you know, that they actually when the research is being done, it turns out that the factory making copies of the cells was in Tuskegee by black researchers at the same time they were experimenting on black men with syphilis. I mean, so it's a complex web.
Yeah, although I think the Tuskegee incident is different. And where it's different is that the men in Tuskegee were given a disease that they shouldn't have had,
right,
not contracted a disease out of the world. And that is, in any estimation, unethical, you know, completely unethical. When you have a tumor and that tumor is removed, and in this case, I believe it was the right medical decision to remove the tumor in the hope that it would help to cure the cancer. So the idea of taking out the tumor is also not questioned in this instance. It's what you then do with that tumor after it was removed. And in this instance, I think at the time, there wasn't this informed consent that we have today.
So today's
today,
a different day.
You wouldn't have this problem.
I like to say, the syphilis wasn't the experiment. It was the men that was the experiment. That's who they was experimenting on.
Yeah.
And, you know, you should see scientists' eyes when you talk about HeLa. But you got to realize there's a family behind all this.
Right.
So you think between the scientific community and the family, people are generally, if not satisfied, at least happy this was resolved, with members of the family being on the board,
yes,
and overseeing where the HeLa cells go from here.
I think that's a very good move. I think it's important to stay in tune with what research is coming from use of this amazing cell line. And so I think that is totally appropriate and totally the right decision to make.
Ron?
Yeah,
from you.
I would just like to say, my father, he was a good father, he was a family man. He took care of his siblings and their children. So when we went to and we used to get advice and help from them. So when we went to NIH meeting and Rebecca Skloot was on a conference call with the family, which we felt they should have been private. You know, why was this journalist here listening to what a family is, what the family is going to decide about the cells? I think it should have been private. And my father, he wants the family to come back together because the ones who sold their rights away to my grandmother's life story is divided on what we should do. And my father, he would like to pull everybody back into the fold and get them to see eye to eye because we are family. And within every family, you have disputes. And we would like to straighten that out between ourselves and decide where we should go from here. That's why we're going to pick two members from the Lax family to represent us at that meeting.
Well, Ron, we're going to follow up on that some more. Mm-hmm. I look forward to meeting more of your family members as we talk about this. Ron Lax is a grandson of Henrietta Lax. This is the second time he's joined us in the studio to talk about this, and really appreciate it that you're being here in the studio with us.
It's my pleasure, and I'm glad I'm getting my father's side of his story out there.
I'm glad you are, too. I'm glad you are, too. And Dr. Gloria Hoffman, always good to have you in the studio, professor of biology here at Morgan State University. Thank you so much.
Yeah, plus, you know he's on Kindle. He got a story out on Kindle.
Your dad?
Yes.
Well, you'll have to share that with us.
Yes,
we'll put that up on the web so people can see it.
Okay.
We will do that. We're going to take a brief break and come right back, and we journey to the Middle East to look at Egypt, Israel, Syria, and more. Palestine. Stay with us.